This is CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting to you from Simon Fraser University's Burnaby campus in British Columbia.
Teachings in the Air with Sahil Thit. I'm starting a new series of podcasts called Let the Healing Begin. That's, you know, as many times in my life, I needed to let the healing begin. You know, also to give context to what I wanted to accomplish this year with these podcasts, I thought of first off, the word healing. It means to become pure and original again, that word heal. You know, and I'd think of that word and to become pure and original again before harm. And I think of the areas that the healers work in. And I've come to understand now there are many healers, different kinds of healers, and that the healing work that needs to happen for all human beings, it's either in the mind, you know, when we get triggered by seeing someone that, for instance, hurt us, physically hurt us, punched us, or kicked us, or said bad things about us. It's that memory that comes up and we feel pain and suffering or anger or depression. So we need healing in our mind. I needed healing in my mind about many thoughts that I would have that would stop me in my tracks during the day. I'd be going along and all of a sudden there it is, a memory, because something, I'd seen something that would trigger a memory of a hurtful event in my past. That's around the mind, you know, and I come to understand it when they say free yourself, that I needed to free myself, to find a way to literally wash my brain of that event that happened years ago when I was hurt and I had pain and suffering or shame and humiliation. You know, those feelings we feel as human being. You know, those thoughts, and it's like a record that goes over and over again, or there's this loop that we keep having these painful memories. When that happens, it's a sign that we need a healing, for something is stuck, literally stuck in my brain. When I think about my life, it's embedded in my brain. Is it possible for me to clean that out? At one point in my life, I thought it wasn't possible, that there wasn't a way to help Jerry, that Jerry had beat himself up over the years, that I'm not a good Stetley, I'm a good man, a good father, a good partner, a good friend. You know, that's not a, that wasn't a good way for me to live, carrying those memories. And it's just like I got addicted to pain and suffering at times. That, you know, that hurt feeling when it comes, starts in your throat, like a burning sensation that goes to your heart, that hurtness, I would have that from those memories. You know, and of course, it happens in day-to-day life. We get hurt during our living time, too, during my living time. Someone would say something to me, and it would hurt me. That's the foundation of anger, when usually it's when somebody hurts you or sees something that's senseless, that doesn't make sense to you. And it turns to anger, that hurtness. And what is this anger? You know, when you get this feeling of want to get even, or you want to hurt somebody or hurt something because of that anger towards another human being. And God, so I got angry with myself too. I wanted to hurt myself. You know, so there's many effects from carrying all of that in my brain. How I'd sleep. Sometimes I'd have a hard time to sleep. Tossing and turning, you know, and wanting to go to sleep because I have to work tomorrow or do something tomorrow. And there's that thought going over and over, tumbling around my brain. And the tension, dentist said, I'm a grinder, I grind my teeth at night, so I have to wear a guard. So it shows me that I'm still dealing with emotions in my brain, memories, my mind. Then, of course, we get tension in our body, our neck, our shoulders. My lower back was a big victim of my carrying around negativity in my brain. And our legs, our breathing. You know, this time in COVID, I started to do a lot of deep breathing, and it sure helped me. You know, even when to go to sleep. Because I'm like every human being. COVID disturbed me. I worried about relatives and friends catching COVID, myself catching COVID. At the beginning, they're thinking I might be all alone. Everybody might catch COVID and take them, or it might take me. So those, I had to learn to literally calm my brain down, my mind, and start to clean it out, you know. Because just me mentioning COVID, then people hurting me when I was hurt in school, in elementary school, growing up thinking I'm stupid and I can't do it. You know, that's in my brain. Then they're adding on, or the world is adding on these other statements about my people. We're called Indians. That we're lazy, we're crazy, we're stupid, we're stinking. Drunken Indians. That was in my brain. I had to free myself of that. Because those kind of thoughts, when you think them over and over again, it starts to like become part of my system. Even though I knew that I come from a beautiful people, I believed that. I remember the stories from my uncle, from my dad, from my grandmother, from other elders about the strength of our people, what our people would do, what they could do. I had that part of me too. Maybe that's what saved me. But I had these memories that would keep coming back every... It wasn't like 24/7. But when I'd get a trigger for that memory, I'd see something. And sometimes it almost like it comes out of nowhere. I'd be sitting there and then I'd think about this hurtful moment in my life. Because they were moments. They were seconds. When I get struck by a teacher, you know, it's not like one whole class of being struck. It's just four or five blows across the head. And that, as a child, that messed up my mind. You know, so I didn't know that. Well, I knew my mind. To be truthful, I didn't know a thing about healing or where to begin. Or that it's possible. When I first sobered up from alcohol and drugs, I knew that alcohol and drugs were hurting me, making my life unmanageable. So once I told people that, you know, my life is unmanageable because of alcohol and drugs, I could stop. And I stopped. You know, so that mind business, healing the mind is real. Changing our mind, I would tell people, every day we wake up, we can change our mind. I was told that I could change my mind every day. It was like giving me permission. And I know that I changed my mind many times for the good. I changed my mind when I stopped drinking. Because you know how it is, drinking, it's fun. That's the only way to have fun. It seems like I convinced myself that it's exciting and it's fun and it's get that feeling to have those first two or three drinks. Laughing, joking around with my friends. But after a while, when I'd have too many, that sadness would come into me, or that anger, or I'd just black out and I wouldn't feel a thing. You know, so... I don't know. I don't understand all of that, but I know it's true for me. My life was unmanageable with that substance called alcohol. You know, so I stopped it, and it hasn't hurt me to stop it. So sometimes it hurts me to see how many of our people are harmed by alcohol and drugs. It brings me a place of sadness, because I know how that feels. Been there, done that. You know, and I think that, when I think of that, we didn't have alcohol in our culture, our way of life, before contact. And we're totally okay. And I worked in addictions for many years, and it seemed to be very difficult to convince people that alcohol and drugs are hurting you and you don't really need it. You know, so I know that feeling. I know that feeling of I need that, or how am I going to have fun then? Plus everybody's doing it, and if I stop, they're going to make fun of me. You know, that shows you part of my life was that I was afraid of other people's opinion of me. I wanted people to like me. Which is okay. If you do good things in your life and you help people and you're encouraging and you're positive, people will like you. But in a way, I just expected people or wanted people to like me without doing anything, and I was afraid they wouldn't like me. when I first quit drinking, oh, I told myself I'm going to quit. I wouldn't tell anybody. And I go with my friends to the beer parlor and play pool. And I tell them, oh, I'm just going to have Coke today. Oh, okay. But I'd end up by the end of that evening drinking again. And part of it is a desire to be part of the group. Our mind, I've been told, is very powerful. And that we don't use a lot of our brain cells. So that's about my mind, and I will get to how the healing began for my mind once I go through the other areas that we need healing in. And thank goodness there's only three areas for us human beings, versus the mind, and the next is the body. And this one is something straightforward, usually, like if we get the flu, we drink lots of liquid, stay in bed, keep warm. Some take Tylenol, some drink sage tea, juniper tea, and they chew other things to help themselves. Go to a sweat lodge, you know, to help that physical sickness. And I was told by an elder that there's 45. He said there's 45 major medicines for human beings. And he says, we only have so many organs, so those 45 medicines, you just find the right combination for each organ. And I believe him. You know, medicine for my lungs, medicine for my liver, for my heart, for my brain, which is, to think of medicine for the brain for me was like far out. You know, oh yeah, there's medicine for my brain. And I found it one day. I was sitting with an elder, and he was cutting up fungus, and burning it. But at that time, I come to the realization that everything we used was medicine for us. Because I was sort of lost there a bit, and I thought all the medicine we're burning was be sent to the Creator. You know, nowadays I think, no, that's for us. We thank the Creator, whoever your Creator is, for the medicine. But we burn that, and we take it in, and there's chemical reactions in our body and our brain. So we learn to take care of our body. If you have muscle aches, you might go for a cold bath or a hot bath or a massage or Reiki or something. You go look for help. Or maybe you know, go get an alignment on your spine with the chiropractor because you're out of whack. So we learn that about our body. You know, and start to find out where the medicine for our body is. You know, I've been to, I could probably count them. Maybe 6 or 8 dentists in my life. And I never liked dentists. Didn't want to go to dentists, didn't trust them, thinking they're about the money and stuff, and they don't like me. I'm indigenous and they're racist. That's what I thought. And at times still think. But I met a dentist, and after I turned 50, I started to have a dentist. Because my wife said, you need to have a dentist. Imagine that after 50 years, finally having a dentist. Get cleanings, get the work done. That's number one dentist that really, she called me Mr. Allman. And that changed me, and I wanted to go to that dentist. Others I go to, I'd sit in that chair and I wouldn't trust them. There's no connection with them. Second one I connected with just recently, he said to me, I'll work on your teeth, but But I want to hear you tell me, I love my teeth. I said, I love my teeth. I said, I was truthful with him. I always never loved my teeth or my body because of trauma, post-trauma. Oh, and he listened. And he says, I understand. So we learn to take care of our body, muscles, teeth, brain, eyes, ears. And when I believe there's medicine for every organ in my body, I feel better. I feel, oh, there's, if something happens, there's going to be medicine for me. That's a body. And the next area is a spirit. Oh, yeah, I remember, 1995, I was lecturing at UBC to health sciences students, 250 students in this lecture hall. And they asked me if I go talk about the impacts of residential school on indigenous health. I said, oh, yes. Well, they asked me to go talk. They were students in occupational therapy and physical therapy. They'd heard about me. So they said, what would you like to speak on? I said, I'd like to have them understand the impacts of residential school on indigenous health. Because at that time I was thinking, well, that's where it started for us. Because when I was at home, I was inclusive when I was a child. You know, before I went to school, it seemed to be pretty healthy. But once I went into the school system, I knew fear and shame and guilt and disappointment, all of those things. So when I looked up the word health, I said, oh, I'm talking to health sciences students. I better know what the word health means and science. So health, and what I had read was to be sound in mind, body, and spirit. And I thought about it, and I said, oh my gosh. I'd understand about mental health stuff, because that's about depression, anger, anxiety, fear, and things like that. You know, plus the heavy ones like schizophrenia and stuff like that. But, you know, for most of us, it's about our feelings. Not knowing how to deal with them or express them or just hanging on to it, like I say, stuck in our brain cells. That's my understanding. This is Jerry's understanding. I want you to understand that. I want to tell you that. So I thought about the spirit. I thought, oh, my spirit. And I thought about that phrase that the spirit holds a human body together. When the spirit leaves, the body falls apart. So it's like glue for the human body. When we have a spirit, we have life. So I thought of that. What's a sound spirit? A sound mind, that means I got rid of that stuff that's making me negative, fearful, angry, depressed. In my body, I'll go get ingrown toenail, I'll go see a doctor. If I get stomach pain, I'll go see a doctor. Earaches, I'll go see a doctor. So it's around the body. For the mind, it took me a long time to get help for my mind. But I'll get into that later. But with the spirit. Okay, what's the sound spirit? Then I come to this place, and I don't know where it comes from. If I read it or I heard it, But I come to understand the indicators of a sound spirit is, first off, is that we have this incredible will to live. Doesn't matter how cold it is or hot or what's going on, we still want to live. We want to participate. We want to be active in our family, in our community. That's a sound spirit. Some people call it resilient. And resilient means the ability to recover quickly after trauma. That's being resilient. So I'm thinking a strong spirit is about, you know, just having an incredible will to live. No give up on you, no quit. You just keep going regardless. And also that you want to be successful in life. When you set a goal, you go and do it, and it's done. That's success. If you want education, you go every day, and you listen to the instructor, you write the tests, and you pass, and you get a certificate or a diploma. That's success. Or if you want a job, if you want to have, food, you apply for a job, you go there, you listen to your boss, you do the work, and you show up on time, leave on time. You know, you just follow all the rules and you do it, and then you're successful in your work. In relationship, you can be successful when you know everybody's working together. That, to me, that's relationship. You're relating to each other, you're listening and talking. That's successful. You can be successful in your communication. People understand what you're saying and they just don't hear you being angry or afraid or depressed, but you can explain or you can tell people where you're at. That's success. You can teach. When you know things, you can teach people and they get it and they do it. That's success. You can teach culture, for instance. You can teach language. You can teach ceremony. And if you're a good teacher, people get it and they do it. That's success. Then the other indicator of this sound spirit is kindness. You're kind. That's a good one, to be kind. To be encouraging. To be friendly. And I think of that and I think about my kind elders, how kind they were to me. Patient, generous with their knowledge, kind, wanting me to be successful. And I imagine now that someone treated them the same way when they were young like me. They wanted people to be successful. Their relatives and their friends, people that come to see them. And they were kind, good teachers. Because I've seen bad teachers, they weren't kind. Maybe we still learned, but it wasn't a good learning, you know. So kindness is an indicator of a good spirit. It means you want to be part of other people's lives too, when you're kind. So that's the areas that we need to heal. And we can, there is help out there for every one of those areas. I believe that and I know that. So this is the first part of the introduction to Let the Healing Begin. What healing is, what areas we need to heal, and our... And I'll get into the healing road in my next talks. And as we go along, and my guests, I want them to talk about this too. So this is the guidelines and the goal and the vision of Let the Healing Begin. I started this podcast talking about healing. Let the healing begin. Sharing about how healing is either with our mind, our body, or our spirit. That's what